The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Welcome to Face Connecticut, an in-depth look at today's issues.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Face Connecticut. I'm Morgan Cunningham on WTIC News Talk 1080, Light 100.5 WRCH and 96.5 TIC. Our guest this morning is Chip Beckett. He is the new chairman of the Independent Party of Connecticut. So I want to talk with him a little bit about his background, about the party's background, about some upcoming elections and what the Independent Party has to offer. We hear a lot about Democrats and Republicans, and so this is an opportunity for us to really get an idea what another philosophy, what another side has to say about some of the issues that we're facing, not just in Connecticut, but in the nation, in our world. Good morning, Chip, and welcome to the show.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Well, you know, that's a loaded introduction because there's so much to talk about with politics in this world today and also, you know, alternative viewpoints, because it is true we tend to hear a lot about Democrats and Republicans and a lot of the political fighting that the two sides do there. But before we get into any of that, I want to know a little bit more about you for people who may know you already and people who may be new to your name. Chip, who are you?
Well, I'm a veterinarian and part-time produce farmer in Glastonbury. I was chairman of the Glastonbury Town Council from 2011 to 2012. I was chairman of the Capital Region Council of Governments from 2015 to 2017 as well. After the party lost the municipal elections in 2017, I became minority leader and left politics in 2021.
And what brings you to today as the new chairman of the Independent Party? How did that come to be?
Well, I ran for lieutenant governor on the independent line with Rob Hoadley in 2022. I'm still very interested in public policy. I think Connecticut has a myriad of opportunities. I think we waste more opportunities than most states ever get. So I've always been interested in public policy and how do we make the state work better for everybody.
In your new role as chairman, if there are a few goals that you'd like to outline, what are you hoping that the party will accomplish under your oversight and leadership?
Well, what I hope is that we can get some discussion that we need to advance public policy. And I think we've had a lot of extremist views on the left and right that dominate the discussion. And I think that they leave out all the centrists in the middle. So if you go back to Ronald Reagan, he talked about blue dog Democrats, people talk about moderate Republicans. In many ways, I view those people as two sides of the same coin. And I think they make the vast majority of the country and want things to work to be better for their family and friends. But I don't think they necessarily need to reinvent the whole world as some of the partisan extremists would have us do.
Talking about the two-party system, you've got Democrats and Republicans, and there's been a lot of disagreement between those two parties in recent years. I mean, that's not necessarily anything new, but we've really seen it go to a whole new level in the last, let's say, decade. okay? And this year's presidential election is another one that's very divisive. And we hear from a lot of people, even on this station, who say that they want different options, they want something more viable, and yet it always seems that this two-party system continues. And so what would your take be on that, on getting people to consider a new alternative if they're not happy with Democrat or Republican traditional ideals?
Well, I think I don't think either party adheres to their traditional ideals, so that's one big problem. I think they've both been bastardized into something that people didn't intend. But I think that people need to think in terms of, if I'm really unhappy with who's there, am I really wasting my vote to vote for somebody else? And I think one of our challenges has been that almost nobody seems to vote for somebody. They're voting against somebody else. So the fear driving them that the enemy is going to become elected makes for this very partisanship. And I think that goes the candidate selection. The most extreme people dominate themselves, get a few people to endorse them in a primary, and then we're left with two terrible choices. And I think the parties haven't done a good job of selecting candidates that people could rally around and could be leaders in their community, if you are in the state or the nation, and feel like they would look out for the residents' and citizens' interests.
As far as Connecticut goes at the local political level, would you say that the independent campaign, the independent party, has made some progress? Because in recent elections, specifically the gubernatorial elections, it does seem as if the independent candidate, that the independent, whoever it is, gets some screen time. They're getting interviews. They're getting into the debates. Would you say that there's more attention now than maybe a decade ago for the Connecticut Independent Party?
Yeah, I think there is more attention. We unfortunately didn't get 1% of the vote. We fell just short, so we're going to have to petition for a gubernatorial line in 2 years. But it's been... But I think people liked our ideas. I had a number of political commentators that wrote to me privately and after the election and said they voted for us because we had the best ideas. And Governor Lamont has adopted several of the ideas that Rob and I put forward in the 2022 election. So I hope that people start to think in terms of what are the ideas, what's the public policy that makes things work better for them. And we can challenge the administration, the administrative state, to do better.
I want to mention the name Oz Griebel because he got a bit of attention as an independent and one that changed his political affiliation after a while, and unfortunately had his accident and passed away. But, you know, looking forward, how do we keep building momentum with names like, as you mentioned, Rob Hodling?
Well, I think Oz had a lot of favorable publicity and people that knew him from doing a lifetime worth of work in Greater Hartford, especially on business issues. And I think we need to try and have people step forward that have experience in the community of long standing. And I think if people want to help donate for publicity, whether it be that they share Facebook pages of people that they like and people that have good ideas, or they want to contribute in some fashion, whether it be with time or money, that helps get the word out. I think there's a big entrenched sense from a lot of people that I wear a blue or red jersey, and so therefore I'm going to vote down the line, but they really don't know who they're voting for or what that person stands for. And I get it. A team has a certain amount of a political platform that they run on, but I'm not sure if people really read the platforms, most people would agree with what their major party platform has been.
My guest is the new chairman of the Independent Party of Connecticut this morning on Face Connecticut. His name is Chip Beckett, who was an independent candidate for lieutenant governor of Connecticut. in 2022. Let's talk about the 2022 gubernatorial election, and not just that one, but if you go back all the way to the Jody Rell era, it has been since Jody Rell, and that was nearly 20 years ago, that every major party gubernatorial candidate has been a multimillionaire. Can you comment on that?
Well, there's nothing the matter with being rich. George Washington was the wealthiest man in America. But you have to have an attitude that you want to help the general public, not that you want to line your own pockets or that you want to line your friends' pockets. And whether that is really strong union support for 12% of the population to have their way foisted on the rest of the public, or whether it's multi-billionaires that want a tax break for their special interest in having other people pay more money so that they can have their tax break. I think both we've selected people that are in it for the wrong reasons. They're not looking at it from a point of, I've been successful in life and fortunate, I'm going to try and change the world and make sure that I get more.
I also want to go back even further in Connecticut's history with the name Lowell Weicker, former governor, who was not an independent as far as being on the independent party, but his party was called a Connecticut party. But he is the only governor in modern history in Connecticut to have come from a third party and not the traditional two-party system. Now, that was very unlikely at that time. Do you think that it is possible, again, that there could be some kind of a political upset like that in our future?
I think there could be. I think Lowell had a tremendous amount of name recognition from being the senator from the state of Connecticut. So name recognition is a big part of politics and elections, as you know. But I think somebody could have name recognition and do something, but people have to be out in the public sphere talking about public policy and how to improve life for the general public to get that publicity.
Thinking about the election in 2 years, which you said that your party, the Independent Party, is going to have to petition to get on, what is that fight going to look like for you guys?
It's expensive. You've got to go get people to sign. You've got to go get people to bring around petitions to get people to sign. And then you've got to make sure that every I and every is dotted, every T is crossed, because otherwise they throw out names at the Secretary of State level saying that this person doesn't qualify or that person doesn't qualify. So it's a very, very big undertaking. But that is what our rules are. I think we have a lot of rules at the state level that really favor two-party system. You mentioned Jody Rell with their selection fund, but third-party candidates can't qualify for any money. And if they do, they get less than the major parties, even with substantial support. So the system is really written so as to ensure the two parties have a duopoly and don't have challenges, and that's going to be something we're going to have to overcome.
I want to look ahead also to 2026 and the election that we're going to see that year, in 2 years. As far as competition goes, the Democrats, some names have been floated around if Governor Lamont chooses not to go for a third term. Lieutenant Governor Susan Bisewitz is a strong contender. Former Hartford Mayor Luke Bronin is seen as another contender, and there are some others, but those are just mentioning two big ones. As far as the Democrats go, what do you think that the fight would look like up against them, and would you view them as your biggest competitor in Connecticut?
Well, I think the Democrats have basically been in control since the 1930s, so yeah, they're our biggest challenge if we're going to regain the gubernatorial line or the mansion. But I think that's 2.5 years away. I think we have a lot of water to go under the bridge yet. And I'm more focused on 2024 and the legislative races than the gubernatorial race right now.
Well, and just one more question on the gubernatorial side, and then we could talk about this year's legislative races and some of the hyper-local races in Connecticut. As far as the Republican ticket goes, it doesn't seem as if they're trying to get behind anybody right now for a run. It seems that Bob Stefanowski has kind of written it off. He hasn't said that officially, so I don't want anybody to quote me on that, but given his statements and interviews that he's given since his 2022 loss, it just doesn't seem as likely. And so what are you thinking about for the Republican side? Are they weaker?
Yeah, I think, you know, Governor Lamont has done a reasonably good job overall for the last 6 years. And we certainly got through COVID better than many other states. So I want to give them props for that. But I think there's a problem when rich people decide as a vanity project they want to run for governor. Is whether that is Stefanowski or Lamont or Malloy or any of the other people that have Foley, any of the other people that have run. You know, none of them, Lamont certainly... I worked with a couple times at Central Connecticut when I was at seminars there that he was involved with public policy. But for the most part, the people that are running don't have any government experience, haven't really created any public policy experience. And I think that that's a real detriment because they're kind of coming in blind or with theory and not thinking about the differences between urban cities, poverty in eastern Connecticut, rural poverty in eastern Connecticut, business development, employment issues. We're a state of small businesses for the most part, not large assembly plants. And yet we focus on business-labor relations like everybody had GM plants and we were Detroit. And I think that's a mistake because we do a lot of innovation, a lot of R&D, and we don't really have a system that is focused on how do you move and develop new things and improve.
Talking this morning on Face Connecticut with Chip Beckett. He is the new chairman of the Independent Party of Connecticut. Just picking his brain this morning on where the Independent Party is now and where it's going, where it's come from, and some of the elections that we're facing this year and in upcoming years. Let's focus for a little bit, Chip, on some of the hyper-local races as we suggested in this year's election cycle in Connecticut. So not talking about Washington, but talking about some of the more local elections in Connecticut. Are there any cities and towns on your radar as possible areas where independents could gain some strongholds or some momentum?
I think all the cities are a possibility. I think John Gomes showed in Bridgeport that there is a fair bit of support for something other than the traditional Democratic monopoly on the cities. And so I was very encouraged by that. So I think that that will be interesting if we can see that replicated across the state with new ideas of people challenging the status quo of the current party leadership.
You mentioned earlier problems in eastern Connecticut concerning poverty, rural poverty. You look at Windham County, and it's absolutely full of that issue. Pretty much much of eastern Connecticut, east of the Connecticut River, but, you know, Windham County, New London County especially have their challenges. If there's any one area where you could see independents start to take over in Connecticut or gain more traction, would it be in eastern Connecticut? Is that where you're hoping to see policy change?
Well, I think both the cities and the rural areas. I think certainly our professional suburbs are doing very well with the service-based economy, but I think where people have gotten hurt is where people used to have what they called low-skill, high-wage jobs, which often meant that they were technical jobs like welding and soldering and manufacturing, but also craftsmen that did woodworking and, you know, furniture and things like that. And a lot of those things have gone away or are difficult to do. And I think we need to give people those opportunities. I look at our educational system and how it focuses almost exclusively on college. And I have a lot of education, but it was to do something that had value to the general public. And I think some of the things are not really places where you have jobs. There's a few people that need a PhD in a variety of humanities, but as teachers, but it's hard to take that as a bachelor's degree or associate's degree and turn it into a career of some sort. Not that I'm against education, but welders, electricians, HVAC people, carpenters, we need those despite AI and in addition to AI and computers. And I think we've neglected all of that.
Is the Independent Party aware and trying to maybe do something about Electric Boat in Groton, for instance, saying they're trying to hire some 5,000 workers in the next year for a lot of those jobs that you mentioned, the welding and so on and so forth, really people who are there working with their hands at the factory. I know that Democratic 2nd District Congressman Joe Courtney has been big on that issue. Do you think that there could be more done in Connecticut to make that happen for EB and get those people those jobs?
Absolutely. You know, they talk about, the Dalio Foundation's talked about 119,000 disaffected youth, some 20% of the population. So if you could imagine 120,000 people that don't go to school, live in their parents' basements or something, work on the cash economy underground, if they were part of the state economy as employees or as business owners, doing something, imagine how much more vital the state of Connecticut would be.
I also wanted to ask you about the Independent Party working with other parties, and you have suggested that in our conversation this morning, Chip, that, you know, you've gotten to know a little bit Governor Lamont and that he's adopted some independent policies and so on and so forth. So where does the Independent Party stand on having its own ideas and acting on them and working with one of the two-party system parties that may have power and, you know, you're trying to get some influence with them?
Well, I think one of the big things is the Independent Party is primarily a centrist party. You know, people that think that you can make incremental improvements in the lives of others and we can come back next year and make further improvements. So a half a loaf is far better than no loaf at all. And I think what we want to look for, whether it's our own candidates is a soul line or whether it's cross-endorsed candidates, is we're really looking for people that want to solve issues and make the world a better place.
In our final moments here this morning, my guest Chip Beckett, the new chairman of the Independent Party of Connecticut, what are your goals to get through the rest of the 2024 legislative cycle and election cycle?
For our election cycle, well, I think we are working on a platform, because one of the big things, I think, with the cross endorsements is what do we see as the public policy that we need to advance? And so we're working on four or five major items that we think are going to be important to do. And people that want our endorsement are going to have to agree that those are the things to do. And hopefully they will provide some further ideas about how to make those happen. And then I think we can try and push our candidates that get elected to be the centrist group at the legislature to say, we're not going to have these crazy ideas on either side, but we will try and work out to make things work for the general citizens of the state of Connecticut.
And another question before I forget, Chip. The Independent Party has adopted a resolution for all candidates to pledge that basically they're against the actions of January 6, 2021. Could you comment on that a little bit?
Well, more so than just the actions of 2020 is that we respect elections. And I think that that's very important. You're not going to hear any of our people talking about, well, I won't accept the election, or if it's fair, I'll accept it. But if it's, you know, if I lose, that it can't be fair. So I think while January 6, 2021 was the key date and the worst that this country has ever seen by far, we don't want anybody to be saying that elections don't count. The Secretary of State's office, the town clerks, the town registrars of voters generally do an excellent job at running elections. So we'll always hear about lines or problems, but when 3.5 million people vote, virtually everybody gets to have their vote counted. is appropriate, and we need to respect those results.
All right, Chip, I've really enjoyed our conversation this morning. I hope we can talk again. Is there anything else that you wanted to bring up that maybe we didn't get to?
I hope people will look at us and think about us not as a spoiler, but as a different way to approach things to make life less polarized and better for everybody.
Chip, thanks for coming on this morning on Face Connecticut. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Face Connecticut is a production of the News and Public Affairs Department of WTIC Radio.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.